Welcome to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series, your audio source for international produce markets, trends, market reports, and community discussion. Join us somewhere in the world as we cover all aspects of the international produce and supply chain industry. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your host, Juanita Galio.
Hey, produce people! Whatever time zone you are in, glad you could join us. Today is April 17th, 2024. I am your Global Fresh Series host, Juanita Galio, coming to you from Long Beach, California. We pride ourselves in delivering our audience interesting but relevant news that you can actually use, and today is no exception. We take you to a town outside of Frankfurt, Germany, Bad Homburg, to meet Dr. Martin Engelmann, the General Director of the German Association for Plastics, Packaging, and Films. In March, the EU passed a ban on plastic packaging with negative implications on the packaging of fresh produce. Martin will talk about this new ruling and what it means for you and your products headed for Europe. But before we get started, a few announcements. On the international front, CPMA is quickly approaching, and I mean just a matter of days. April 23rd through the 25th in Vancouver, Canada. The Produce Industry Podcast team will be there covering all of our fabulous sponsors and meeting with the rest of the international produce community. Closer to home, announcing the Produce Industry Podcast's next virtual networking event is just tomorrow, April 18th at 2 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Lights, camera, action. Our guest, Neil Gilardi of Wildstyle Media, an award-winning media film company specializing in telling clients' stories through digital media solutions. Exciting stuff. You will not want to miss this. And speaking of CPMA, a big thank you to our Global Fresh Series sponsor, proudly Canadian, Peak of the Market. Capture your fun memories at their booth number 931 as they feature a veggie-themed photo booth. Come meet their passionate team right after the doors open on Thursday at 2 o'clock. Now to our special guest, Dr. Martin Engelmann, who is going to tell us about what this new ban on plastic packaging will mean to produce products being exported to the European market.
Guten Tag and welcome to the Global Fresh Series, Martin. I hope I said that correctly.
Hello, Juanita. Thank you. Yeah, very good. Excellent German.
Oh, danke. Today, we take you to Bad Homburg, Germany, to meet today's guest. We have the great pleasure and honor of having Dr. Martin Engelmann join us. Martin, as he prefers to be called, is the General Director of the German Association for Plastics, Packaging, and Films, the voice of the German packaging industry, advocating for industry-wide proportionate regulations internationally. This organization has been closely aligned with the fresh produce industry and is playing a big role in the recent EU ban on plastic packaging, which of course affects fresh produce greatly. So I'm going to pass it over to Martin to explain a little bit more about this and how they play a role in the fresh produce supply chain.
Yeah, thank you, Juanita, for inviting me and having me on your podcast. I'm very delighted to be part of that. My name is Martin Engelmann, and I'm working with the German Plastic Packaging Association, as you rightly said. We are the industry association for roughly 300 medium-sized German plastic packaging and film producers. And our main tasks first is lobbying, industry advocacy, both in Berlin, but recently more and more in Brussels as well. And secondly, also to communicate about the need for packaging and the benefits plastic packaging can bring. We are a relatively small team, highly effective and internationally well-connected. And that's probably why I'm here today.
And you have a great website too. I took a look at it. You have some beautiful pictures of berries and plastic packaging and
fruits, vegetables play a huge role and will play a role today.
So tell us about the latest. This I remember last we met was at Fruit Logistica with the seminar on the plastics. And I found it interesting with all the speakers were in agreement that this was a really, they were going up the wrong road. They were approaching it the wrong way. And it seems to me like it's quite an extremist ban on what they're looking at. And myself and the listeners, I'm sure, would really be interested in knowing more how this is going to impact them, especially imports coming into the EU.
Yeah, it's a huge and complex file. We are talking about the EU Packaging and Packaging Waste Regulation. That's the full name. And the acronym is PPWR. And this is how we will address it probably. It all started, it's now more than 2 years ago, when the Commission in November 2022, was it, when the Commission made their proposal public. And in this proposal, there was a complete ban of all packaging, regardless of the material, for fresh fruits and vegetables below 1.5 kilogram, with some EU-wide exemptions. So, for instance, for turgidity losses and ripening those kind of exemptions, which would then apply EU-wide and harmonized. And this is just one of the many, many provisions foreseen for packaging in the future, which is in this PPWR proposal. And this has been then highly debated, was probably the most lobbied issue in recent years in Brussels. Huge lobbying efforts were put into that, in particular from the food sector, in particular takeaway packaging was
yeah,
one of the
it's
topics.
Not just even the supermarket, but I never thought of that, the takeaway foods, which is a really growing sector.
Yeah, because one additional proposal by the Commission was to ban all single-use packaging used in fast food restaurants for on-site consumption. So as you can imagine, in particular, the paper industry had gained some market shares due to the anti-plastic vibes. So laminated paper packaging has replaced much of the single-use plastics in the takeaway sector, and they feared, of course, that now everything is going again in the direction of plastics in the form of reusable plastic packaging. But that's another issue. So highly debated topic. And then in January this year, the final phase of the negotiations started, and with a huge time pressure, the Parliament and the member states of the EU came to a conclusion in just 8 weeks, but from their perspective, successful, because we will have elections to the European Parliament in June, and they wanted to present a successful closure of the discussions beforehand. So politically, that has worked. However, the text is still not final. So over the year, the lawyer linguists will look into that. There are still a lot of, let's say, construction sites which still need to be sorted out. And then very likely by the end of the year, we can probably then have a final text which will then be approved by the European Parliament, by the new European Parliament and the member states. So that the whole PPWR will be coming into force beginning of 2025, and then many of the rules apply from mid-2026. However, the ban we are going to talk about, that will apply only from 2030 onwards.
Wow. So they still have some time to prepare. Do you think there'll be any modifications to this plastics ban, or will it be pretty severe?
Since this seems to be the political solution to not ban all packaging for fruits and fresh fruits and vegetables, but only plastic packaging, the Commission will be very reluctant to go and change the will of the legislator. So from that side, I am doubtful. It can, of course, happen that over the next couple of years, there will be a better understanding of why you need plastic packaging, for instance, for fresh fruits and vegetables in order to avoid, for instance, food losses, that there might be some more exemptions. The proposal as such, as it is now, as I said, foresees only a ban of plastic packaging for fresh fruits and vegetables, and not a European-wide exemption, but the possibility for member states to set exemptions. Yeah, that's a little bit worrying, because as you can imagine, we are facing a patchwork of different regulations.
Yes.
So while, for instance, in France, which has already a national ban of fresh fruits and vegetable plastic packaging, other countries like Italy also might exempt their companies from this ban.
Well, that's pretty confusing for many of the suppliers then. How do you plan for your distribution, especially throughout Europe? If there's exemptions in some countries, or is it going to be by I'd like to know what the role the supermarkets are playing. The large supermarket chains, for example, what do you have, Aldi and
Good questions. I mean, what the proposal looks like. A total ban of plastic packaging for fresh fruits and vegetables by 2030, and possibility for member states to exempt certain plastic packaging. Yeah, because of, for instance, to avoid water loss or microbiological hazards, turgidity losses, and so on. So rather broad. There will be commission guidelines coming up in 2 years, better explaining what is meant by this. However, member states have the possibility, and I'm pretty sure some will use it depending on what their local companies will ask them for.
Well, with France already having a ban on plastics, can you give us some examples how they're presenting fruits and vegetables within the supermarket?
Yeah, well, you see that also in Germany happening. So in Germany, there's some sort of transition. So you see both. You see for instance, the berries packed in pure plastic packaging, but also packed also in paper, then with a plastic lid on top, for instance. Yeah, so preventing them from falling out. So the producers are probably experimenting at the moment what's possible and what not, of course. Yeah, and
So this
marketing always plays a role.
right, and so this opens up opportunities for other areas as well, though. Maybe the plastics packaging industry will come up with some alternatives. Could you see that happening?
Yeah, well, since it's plastic packaging that is being banned, the alternatives that we have, for instance, with regard to biological, bio-based plastics are banned as well,
Oh boy.
which is bad. Yeah, but this is all the result of last-minute changes, and those last-minute changes do not always present the best solution as it's normal, yeah, because
And
these things have not been thought through.
exactly. That's the takeaway that I had from the seminar at Fruit Logistica. Is that, I mean, sometimes the decision makers are not the people that understand how the supply chain works.
Yeah, that's it. That's part of the decision-making system. Yeah, so politicians
Yeah,
can
we know
make
how
decisions
that
if something is good or bad, but
works.
it's very difficult in such a very, very complex mechanism like the PPWR it is to make drastic changes because then this disturbs the whole thing. So I'm always comparing that with a Swiss watch, for instance. Yeah, so have you all these tiny little wheels and so all working together, and if you just go with a hammer and change something there, then the whole system
It
might
messes up
collapse.
everything. Exactly. Well, we were just starting to get deeper into this subject, and I want to know, not only myself, but I'm sure our listeners are wanting to know more of the depth of this. But we're going to take a quick break and hear from our fabulous sponsors and those relationships in the produce and supply chain industry, which I'm sure all relate to plastics. So don't go away. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to elevate your produce aisle and captivate customers with fresh, high-quality vegetables? Look no further than Peak of the Market, where we connect great farmers with caring consumers. Visit booth 931 at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show to connect with our passionate staff and growers to discover how we're working to fill half of every plate across North America. Learn how our core value of being rooted in growers drives every decision we make. From seed to plate, Peak unites the entire supply chain with a full service team handling everything from sales to logistics, packing, and distribution. We've got your veggie needs covered. Don't miss out. Visit Peak of the Market at booth 931 from April 23rd to April 25th at the CPMA Convention and Trade Show in Vancouver, Canada.
Welcome back to the Global Fresh Series. If you are just joining us, welcome and a big thank you to all of our fabulous sponsors. Let's return to our interesting discussion with Martin of the German Association for Plastics, Packaging, and Films. Martin, let's get into this on
sustainability.
Yes, this is a fascinating discussion and one that's going to be going on for some time. And I'm sure that many, especially suppliers, want to know how to deal with this. How do you handle this? And maybe you're going to be have a lot more members or a lot more people joining your organization, because it sounds like your organization can also walk them through this labyrinth of new rules.
That will be a major task, exactly. Yeah. So we get a lot of requests from Asia and the Americas about these new rules. And I mean, we are still digesting them ourselves, but it becomes clear that the new rules will be much more binding, much more stricter than the previous rules, will set conditions for the recyclability of packaging. There will be mandatory recycled content targets for plastic packaging. There will be bans, immediate bans for PFAS content. Yeah, and there will be reuse quotas coming up. So
now, PFAS is, these are the forever chemicals that everyone talks about. They just don't go away, or they
have. Yeah, well, that's the phrasing of the NGOs, exactly. Yeah. So they've always been there. Yeah, but but now they are pretty much in the news. Yeah,
interesting.
Well, they are not deliberately used in plastic packaging. Yeah. So, but the issue is that the limit values are set so low that even if you use it during the production process to facilitate the production, you can still find some traces within all packaging. So that's a concern. And the other concern is that there is an ongoing restriction procedure in Europe with regard to chemical law. So for all applications coming into contact with food. And now they have introduced this parallel in the packaging sector, which of course, as you know, makes things difficult. If you have two similar regulations in two different bodies, then time-wise and content-wise, these things might drift apart, which makes it all more complicated.
Which commodities do you see as being most affected with this packaging?
Well, the focus of the political discussion was clearly plastic packaging. So while the original proposal was basically material neutral, so applied to all packaging materials, at least in the political discussion, there was a clear focus on plastic packaging, in particular with regard to the bans. There are even more bans than before, all the bans only for plastic, not for other packaging, for instance, paper or cardboard. And there are also a lot of privileges within the other provisions for paper and cardboard, for instance, with regard to recycled content or with regard to recyclability. For instance, France came very late in the process and said that their beautiful Camembert wood packaging need to be exempted. You might laugh, but it's true. Yeah, so they got their exemption. The same for wax packaging. So little cheese being packed in wax is exempted, doesn't need to be recyclable. The same as ceramic spiritus is also exempted. So there was quite some changes, which is regrettable, because or for all these packaging formats, there are, of course, recyclable alternatives already on the market. I
mean, right.
You see Camembert also packed in plastics, for instance.
Yeah? Yes.
So it doesn't have to be in wood, but okay, that's how politics work.
So what is the future of plastic? What do you think is your organization will be concentrating or focusing on to try and mitigate this?
Well, I think what we need to do is try to bring back more the sustainability aspects than over the marketing aspects. So the recent years, since all the horrible pictures of the polluted beaches from Asia and Africa have flooded the media and caused great concerns, and we are still feeling the shock waves of this incident in this legislation. So, and this had, of course, implications also with regard to companies. So many marketing people said, okay, let's just reduce plastics, let's use something else, let's use paper, brown paper. And if then the security and health guys said, no, we can't have paper in direct contact with the food, then okay, let's laminate it with plastics, both side and cover. Let's look again And the PPWR gives the perspective for that. Let's look again at the recyclability of the package, at recycled content, and also, of course, where reuse can make sense. You know?
Yes, it's more of a practicality than a political that we're trying to focus on.
It was very ideologic, the recent debate. Yeah, so it was against plastics without having any justifiable reasons. Mm-hmm. So it was just to say that we have done something against plastic packaging. And I think the hope is that we get back to a more factual discussion about packaging. And you don't have to use always plastic packaging, but it has some advantages, many advantages. Mm-hmm. It's very lightweight. It has very good barrier functionalities. It's relatively cheap and you can well recycle it. Yeah? For instance, in Germany, we have a recyclability rate, a recycling rate of plastic packaging separately collected of 67%. So that is very high and has dramatically increased over the last 4 or 5 years only. Yeah? So a lot of changes have happened. The public has not yet understood the positive changes that have taken
exactly.
place.
Like when you mentioned that, the recyclability rate of 67%, that's huge. And that's the first time I've heard. I've heard.
Yeah,
that's,
I know.
That means the public is really adapting to recycling plastic.
It is. And I mean, it's a costly system. Yeah. But the thing is, with waste management, there's one learning I got over the last 20 years working on this issue and visiting places in many places in Asia. There is no quick solution.
Yes.
So
it takes time. It has to evolve.
Exactly.
Even plastics has been evolving to today. I'm seeing a number of packaging companies with focusing on fresh fruits and vegetables. And now they're really going into the point that our packaging is compostable, sustainable. It's plastic, but it's a different type of material, I guess, than plastic. And they're really, like you said, it's using it as a marketing effect to really, sell the product, to move the product. And because the consumer's kind of demanding that as well. That's where I was wondering, what kind of role are the supermarkets playing? Are they involved at all in this, or are they just standing on the sidelines, letting you duke it out with the EU and these regulations?
No. They are hugely influential, of course, since they're very big and they do participate in this. They do have other issues sometimes. I mean, for them in particular, the deposit systems is a very important thing, since we have a bottle deposit system, for instance, in Germany. And that is working well over the last decades already. Preserving that, making them, that happen also maybe in other countries, that is their focus.
You know, I have to say that when I lived in Germany, which was easily 20 years ago, I can living in Karben, I told you it's near Bad Homburg. I can recall having to recycle not only the glass, but we had to have the bins, whether it was brown, clear glass, or green glass, and then plastics. And it was very, it was very strict. You were fined if you put it in the wrong bin. And
it's true, yeah.
And, I remember thinking, this would never work in the U.S., but it's really caught on. I think it's caught on catching on worldwide, but in particular here, or maybe just because I'm in California, which is very much into the same thing, plastics and recycling. So it's becoming a definitely an international issue, but it shouldn't be this extreme. You don't want it affecting the whole, I'm thinking in terms of we're trying to eliminate food waste. And this is another big issue. So how is this going to impact if you can't properly seal the product to extend the shelf life? You're contributing to another problem, which is food waste.
Yeah, very good question. Has not been assessed. That's one of the fundamental problems of the entire discussion that we have, that normally such proposals, like the Commission proposal for banning all sorts of packaging for fruits and vegetables, should have been thoroughly investigated and assessed, and reusable alternatives that would have been assessed, and the impact on food losses. So this has all not happened. So this makes your
role more important, because you and your organization more important. You really have to in some way find a way to get this across. This is what you're trying to do. Like, so you're advocating for the industry.
Problem is, though, that all the decision makers believe that if Commission has proposed something like this, they will have duly investigated it. That's part of the politics. Yeah, but it's true. I mean, California is setting the tone. Yeah, so EU is also looking, of course, across the Atlantic, and is being inspired also by Californian legislation. They normally tend to overdo it, then make it very, mm-hmm. very bureaucratic. Yeah. And create huge data graveyards where nobody will ever look at, but companies will have headaches how to get all this data.
We're starting to come to the end of the show. So what I wanted to find out is if our listeners want to know more about this, where can they find information? If they want to know more about your organization, could you give us some direction here?
Yeah, sure. Of course, we have a website with a very long name, Kunststoffverpackungen. But if you want to make shorter, you can contact me on LinkedIn. I'm easily found on LinkedIn, because I'm also, let's say, following the discussion about the PPWR on LinkedIn actively. So please do send me your contacts, and then we can exchange.
Wunderbar. Vielen Dank für alles.
Thank you. And, sehr gern. Danke.
And we will definitely have to, this is another, you can go on and on. This is another interesting discussion that we'll have to continue to see how things work out. Maybe, you know, towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, we'll have another discussion. What's happened so far now that this has been put in place, and how is it working out? So thank you so much for being here. I'll look forward to seeing you sometime in Bad Homburg, as we talked about. What is the Mexican restaurant there? Could you give us the name?
El Dorado.
It's number two.
I don't get paid by them.
I know, number two TripAdvisor. It's been a pleasure. And we will say to our listeners, we will see you here at the Produce Industry Podcast, in the fields or on the horizon, we're at whatever time zone or country you are in. Thank you for joining us.
You've been listening to the Produce Industry Podcast Global Fresh Series with Juanita Galio. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, and Amazon to get new fresh episodes. For more, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at The Produce Industry Podcast. Until next time, see you in the fields or on the horizon.